We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Steve Palazzolo for Pro Football Focus. Steve, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, Steve, great week, great stretch here for the Browns. They're 4-1 for the first time since 1994, and they play their nemesis, the Steelers. They've never beaten the Steelers. They've never beaten Big Ben in Pittsburgh. In fact, the Browns haven't won in Pittsburgh since 2003, and they haven't won in Pittsburgh against the Pittsburgh team that eventually made the playoffs since 89. When you look at this matchup here, Steve, you know, Browns are a little banged up, but so are the Steelers on the O-line. You think the point spread's right at Steelers by 3 at home?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. Those are some, yeah, that's a crazy history that you're laying out there. It's been a while, but, you know, I think the Browns have played well. They've done a nice job. I think, you know, I keep coming on here every week saying, I want to see a little bit more from Baker Mayfield, want to see a little bit more.
Right.
I still think that holds true. And I think from a Steelers point of view, they haven't played great defensively, especially compared to last year. And it's an interesting team because they're still good on that side of the ball. They're still capable because that front seven is outstanding. And then Big Ben's just playing a different brand of football. He's taking care of the ball, not making as many big plays down the field, but they're still, you know, they still have a good offense. You know, guys like Chase Claypool stepping up. So the Steelers have a good all-around team. And, you know, I think the Browns, I'm not a doubter of the Browns. I just think they're the team that every single week still kind of has to prove themselves because nice win last week against the Colts. That was one big test, and there's another one this week with Pittsburgh.
Hey, when you look at Baker, obviously Bull kind of asked you about him there a little bit. This weekend in particular, you know, he's not 100% healthy, and, you know, we're kind of curious, you know, if you were the Browns and you had a 75% Baker Mayfield versus a healthy Case Keenum, who's better?
That one's tempting just because, you know, Keenum's been a pretty solid backup through the years. And again, as much as I love Baker, he's not playing great football right now. I think he's playing okay. He's well protected in the scheme. What I want to see from him is putting together that full four quarters. You know, I mean, the last week was Baker almost trying to throw the game away, but Rivers threw it away more. You know, that's what it felt like. So I wouldn't be against a Case Keenum just at this point. I do think ultimately this team wins, you know, with Baker Mayfield at quarterback and playing a high level of football. You know, that's how they're going to win ultimately. I thought they've done a great job the last few weeks. We've seen the Stefanski system, that the play-action game that creates open throws, the run game being one of the league's best. But I don't hate the idea of a Keenum in a one-game setting maybe being the guy. It's less exciting, but it might be a little bit safer than trotting Baker back out there.
We're talking with Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. Steve, you talked about you referenced the protection that Baker's had, and it's obviously been great. You mentioned also the tough challenge they face against Pittsburgh because they're really good front seven. And one other factor here is Wyatt Teller, who you loved – coming into the season, you were right. He had a great start to the season, but he's out. Chris Hubbard, I know, struggled last year. How did Chris Hubbard grade out at right guard when he filled in last week, and how big a concern should that be for this week?
Yeah, I mean, look, guards are fun. They're great. They don't really make or break a team. Maybe Wyatt Teller does. But, you know, Hubbard was solid. He was fine. He graded in the high 60s, you know, low 70s as far as the pass blocking goes. So those are solid PFF grades on our
good
0 to 100 scale. I think they'll be okay there. It's just when you do go up against this really good Pittsburgh defensive front, you do want your best guys out there, obviously. But, you know, the Steelers have, you know, the Cameron Haywards of the world and T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. So they've got edge guys. They've got interior players. Tyson Alualu is playing extremely good football. So they, across the board, the Steelers have played very well this entire season as far as the front seven goes. Their issue has been on the back, you know, on the back end. They're not covering nearly as well as they did a year ago. So I think the Browns will be able to make do. I also think from a system standpoint, as much as I love what Wyatt has done, you get the guards on them. You know, there's so much play action, and there's so – they could be protected as far as pass protection goes. Gotcha. I'll put it that way. So I think the big question is going to be, does this look like week one when the Browns went up against the blitz-heavy Ravens? Because this is the first time they're going up against a similar scheme in the Steelers, who get after it the second most in the league, or actually the most in the league, right ahead of the Ravens as far as blitzing goes. So I think that's going to be the big question. How do the Browns handle, you know, extra rushers and some of that trickeration that Pittsburgh likes to throw out there?
When you look at Myles Garrett versus a T.J. Watt in terms of, you know, like, who's better, how close is it?
Look, I do Pittsburgh radio and Cleveland radio every week. I actually gave Myles Garrett the edge, even on Pittsburgh radio. So I'll stay true to that. I think Garrett is just a better, pure all-around, you know, edge defender. You know, he can play the run pretty well. Obviously known for what he does as a pass rusher. He's got 33 pressures this year. And he's continued to improve. You know, T.J. Watt's a little bit different. They'll move him around a little bit. They've moved him kind of to the middle as an inside backer at times to just mix things up. He'll drop into coverage, not a ton, but enough to make a few plays there. So T.J. Watt's kind of your more classic old-school 3-4 outside backer, and, you know, Garrett's more of your classic 4-3 defensive end. But they still, it's the same role. They're rushing the passer. They're setting the edge. And I would give Garrett maybe the slight edge, because I also think Garrett is just going to continue to improve. You know, he has literally gotten better every single year, actually, as has T.J. Watt. But Garrett's continued improvement meshes with that incredible athleticism that he has. So I'm expecting even more of that going forward from Miles.
Steve, earlier this week, I said that I would not, and obviously I factor in age in an Aaron Donald comparison, but I would not trade Myles Garrett for any defensive player in the league. Would you buy that or sell that?
I would only sell it because I think defensive ends in general are overrated. They're good. They're awesome. They do make an impact, but they're overrated in the fact that if you just said what's the most important position on the team, I'd say cornerback. I think the tricky part of that statement, though, is being able to predict what those guys are going to do. You can much easier predict what a defensive end or an edge defender is going to do. It's harder to predict a cornerback, even say a Jalen Ramsey or Stephon Gilmore, guys with a track record of success. They still tend to be kind of at the mercy of the receivers that they play and the quarterbacks that they face. So from that respect, yeah, is Garrett like the edge defender that I would build around? Sure. I think that's absolutely fine. The non-Aaron Donald standard there.
Yeah,
but I would also try to grab the best cornerback in the league if I could, if I had my choice of starting a defense.
I guess I get what you're saying, but I was thinking of it more as a perspective of he in the current Browns situation, right? Like you have Denzel Ward, so you wouldn't trade him for, right? You wouldn't need to at that position anyway. Not that the Browns are trading him, but, I mean, I hear what you're saying about defensive ends, but as far as defensive ends go, he's got to be as valuable as any.
Oh, yeah, I think he's right there. You know, it's great because we now have PFF college data going back to 2014, and we've seen Myles Garrett come through there. We've got grades on the Boses and all that stuff, and it's great because Garrett and the Boses are the three guys that just stood out from the day we had college grades on them all the way through the NFL, and Garrett's continued to improve. So I have no problem with that statement. It's him being the defensive lineman to build around for the future, for sure.
You know, Steve, the Browns secondary this weekend really banged up. You look at the, you know, you got two safeties that are going to be out in this game. Who the heck knows? You know who they're going to put out there. They made it.
Sheldrick Redwine.
A second year player like Redwine, or a corner like Kevin Johnson, move him over. How big is this for Cleveland's back end of the defense?
Yeah, it's huge just because, you know, Pittsburgh, Deontay Johnson, I know, is out at wide receiver there. But, you know, with Chase Claypool really emerging, you know, having a 4-touchdown game is going to put you on the radar for opposing defenses, right? So the Steelers coming into the year, you're thinking, hey, they got Juju. Deontay Johnson's a really nice route runner, and James Washington can get behind the defense. But now you've got this Chase Claypool who seemed like he was just going to be a complimentary piece, and he might be ready to grab some wide receiver one type of targets. So I think that's the big issue, is they have multiple receivers that you have to match up against. And I think that's Eric Ebron can work the middle of the field pretty well. So, you know, I said at the beginning of the year, I think a lot of the Browns' success is going to depend on the back seven. I think overall they've certainly played well, but the injuries hurt. It hurts the depth, and it's going to be one of the keys this weekend, trying to slow down Pittsburgh's passing attack.
Steve, I referenced Denzel Ward before. I'm curious, where is he grading out right now amongst corners?
Let me pull up our corners. I know he's near the top. I know he's one of the best. What we were asking about top five a couple weeks ago.
Right, right, right.
Where is he right now? Oh, I got him.
Yeah, you'll find
it. This is well done.
I mean, he's been
16th overall. And, yeah, 16th overall. How much did that get skewed by? Last week you had a rough one coverage-wise. So that's the nature of the position with the penalty last week. The nature of the position that dropped him a little bit. I still overall see him as a top 10 caliber corner, though.
All right. Very good. We're talking with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Browns getting set to play the Steelers 1 p.m. this week. Another Steeler that's out is David DeCastro's out this week. You know, we talk about the Browns losing Wyatt Teller. You said guard's not a big deal. DeCastro, big deal for them or not that big a deal?
No, I mean, they replaced him pretty well early in the year with Kevin Dotson, the rookie. You know, he did a nice job. He was a fourth rounder. You know, it's tough to, you know, say that he'll continue that really nice performance. But I think the thing about the Steelers' offensive line is they really have holes. It's, you know, they're just solid across the board. DeCastro's another one of those guys that's solid. If it's Dotson in there, though, you might be able to see him getting taken advantage of a little bit because he is a rookie, but he did perform well earlier in the year when he had a shot.
You know, when you lose a center, for example, you know, if Pouncey couldn't go in the game, and who knows, I mean, he'll probably play. But, like, if you lose a center on any team, how valuable is that for a team? It seems like Vegas even looks at that as something that is important.
Yeah, I think, you know, the center, you know how it is. They're in the trenches, and they have to see the game the same way the quarterback sees the game. You know, protection calls, just making sure everybody's on the same page. They are the communicator the same way the middle linebacker is the communicator on the defense. It's the center up front, making sure everything's, you know, it's such an intricate game that then becomes simple in theory, right, once the ball snaps. But the stuff that goes into making sure the right guy's blocked and all the right assignments are carried out, it all goes through the center. So I think on one hand, all that stuff is true and that's a big deal. And then on the other hand, you do see backup centers come in, and as long as they're not getting crushed physically, you know, the quarterback might take a little bit more responsibility, whatever it might be. We've seen backup centers and teams, you know, be able to handle that. So I think it could be an issue, and it kind of goes either way depending on how good that guy is, you know.
Steve, I got a question for you. It's a little out of left field here, but I'm curious. Just because there's nothing to do with the Browns and Steelers, and it's kind of a random dude. But Travis Fulgham has put up huge numbers for the Eagles the last 2 weeks. Yeah, obviously he was a sixth-round pick of the Lions, didn't get any chance there. He's had two huge games in a row. Is there any reason to buy him right now, or is this a flash in the pan because they've got nobody to throw to?
I think it's a little bit of, you know, being, you know, it's an opportunity that he's been able to take advantage of. It's tough because I like to believe in breakout players, right? I mean, I like to, hey, maybe they found somebody in Philadelphia after they should have had a good group of receivers, but they were all hurt. On the other hand, you know, he's bounced around so much from so many different teams and practice squads and all that stuff. You know, he looked like a decent developmental prospect coming out of Old Dominion a couple of years ago. And, you know, maybe that's what it is. I think they're going to ride the hot hand and see what they can get out of him. So right now, I think, you know, it's tough to believe in him long term, but I think short term, they can continue to get some success out of him. It's been impressive to watch.
What about Carson Wentz there? Obviously, he struggled. They paid him a lot of money. You know, there's been talk about benching him. Are you still a believer in Carson Wentz?
Yeah, so I chalked up his first few weeks to what we saw from Andrew Luck in 2015. And that was Luck came out that year and looked nothing like what he did the previous 3 years of his career. He was turning the ball over. Accuracy was a disaster. All of his decision-making was off. It just looked like a slump. And I think at the time they said maybe Luck was battling injuries and that eventually he did battle actual injuries and missed a lot of time that year. With Wentz, it just felt like a slump. It's like this is not in line with anything else he's done the rest of his career. So my thought is he was going to come out of it. And last week, by our grading, he did. You know, he had an interception on a miscommunication and he threw a bomb that went through the hands of John Hightower in the end zone. If you just flip those two plays, his passer rating jumps from 75 to 105, and it completely changed the perception of his performance. But the throws were there or whatever, you know, you know that was what he executed. So I think he may have broken out of the slump even that second half against the 49ers on Sunday Night Football. I think he'll be okay, Yeah. But, man, it was really alarming those first few weeks. Decision-making and accuracy was the worst in the league, and it really wasn't even close.
All right, Steve, great stuff as always. Who you got winning the Browns-Steelers game, by the way? Do you have a pick?
Yeah, I got to lean Steelers here. I think they're a little bit cleaner all around. But, hey, I'm rooting for the Browns to prove me wrong and go to 5-1.
We all certainly are, but it's understandable you picked the Steelers. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.